Well, this is nice. There's a few of us here today, and it's always good to gather in the name of the Lord. We're going to sing some songs, of course, and it's a little different on Wednesday nights when Mom's not here because there is no music, but we still sing. We just do the best we can, and I'm sure the Lord accepts that, and I'm sure He appreciates our worship. So we're going to be doing that in just a moment, but before we start singing, we're going to pray first because we need the Lord's help. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this evening, seeking Thy guidance, Thy direction, Thy will, asking, O God, that Thy Spirit, Thy Holy Ghost, would be upon each and every one of us. We ask, God, for Thy inspiration as we sing unto Thee. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst accept our praise and worship today as we give You our hearts. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst abide over this entire service here today. We ask for Thy inspiration to truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. All right, well, I haven't really picked out any songs, so we're just going to kind of wing it tonight. But that's all right. We've done that before, and it seems to work out. But I thought we'd start in the chorus book tonight with number 40, Great is the Lord, because our Lord truly is great. Number 40 in the chorus book. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. Praise the Lord, and we do serve a mighty wonder-working God. There is none greater than Him. Praise the Lord. That's a wonderful thing to know, and we have a lot to be thankful for. One of the things that we should be thankful for each and every day is the fact that He saved our souls, and we could never repay Him for that. But why don't we go ahead and sing number 42 in the chorus book, Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank You, Lord, for making me whole. Thank You, Lord, for giving to me Thy great salvation so rich and free. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful for that salvation. Praise the Lord. And you know, we live in a world that's full of peril. and trouble on all sides, and there are so many things that can go wrong all the time, so many dangers out there, but we are safe in the Lord when we put our trust in Him. So why don't we go to number 55 in the chorus book and sing, Safe Am I. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of His hand. Shelter o'er, shelter o'er, with His love forevermore. No ill can harm me, no foe alarm me, for He keeps both day and night. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of His hand. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of His hand. Shelter o'er, shelter o'er, with His love forevermore. No ill can harm me, no foe alarm me, for He keeps both day and night. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of His hand. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of His hand. Shelter o'er, shelter o'er, with His love forevermore. No ill can harm me, no foe alarm me, for He keeps both day and night. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of His hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to know that we are safe in His hands. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we go to number 9 and sing, The Spirit of the Lord Shall Come. Number 9. It shall flow like a river, it shall fall like the rain, it shall flow from the mountains to the valleys or the plains. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come. Flow, river, flow, flow. To the valley far below, for the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come. It shall flow like a river, it shall fall like the rain, it shall flow from the mountains to the valleys or the plains. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come. Flow, river. mountains, to the valley far below. For the knowledge of the Lord shall fill all the earth, and the Spirit of the Lord shall come. Praise the Lord. And I am thankful to know that His Spirit is here tonight. Praise the Lord. He promised He'd be right here with us, and I believe that He is. And you know, only the Lord can change us. Only the Lord can make us what we need to be. And we need the Lord to have His will in our lives. We need to submit ourselves to God and tell Him, "Have Thine own way, Lord." So why don't we sing number 13, "Have Thine own way, Lord." Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in Thy presence, humbly I bow. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is Thine. Touch me and heal me, Savior divine. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with Thy Spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Have Thine own way, Lord, have Thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after Thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Praise the Lord. We need Him to have His way in our lives. We need Him to make us what we ought to be. Why don't we sing number 47, "Lord, make me what I ought to be." Number 47 in the chorus book. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like thee. Make me come up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like thee. Make me come up higher till thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Praise the Lord. We do need Him to make us what we ought to be. He's the only one who can do it. Without Him, we're completely helpless. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Rob, could I get you to do that for us, please? Thank you, sir. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank Thee for Thy sustaining power. We thank Thee for Thy provisions. We thank Thee that Thou hast kept us here. For we know that without Thee we can do nothing. Without Thee we are completely helpless. And we know that we could not be here if not for Thy help. So I thank Thee again, O God, for these blessings. And I pray, O God, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight. And we also pray that Thou hast blessed those who are unable to give. We ask for Thy wisdom on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we sing one more song before we get started in the Word. Number 91 in the course book, Without Him. Because we would be helpless without Him. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me As I travel life's rugged sea and make my life what it ought to be, Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without him, I could do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Praise the Lord. And we need him. We sure do need him. We're helpless without him. Praise the Lord. And it's wonderful to know that he has promised that he would never leave us. Where he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Praise the Lord. Well, it's time to get started in the Word. Last week, we started in on the book of Ephesians. We're going to continue in the book of Ephesians here tonight. We did the first three chapters last week, and Lord willing, we'll do the last three chapters today. And you never know how the Lord will lead, but that is the intention at this point. And we're going to be starting in Ephesians chapter 4. But before I read even one verse, I do need to pray, so I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, asking for thy guidance, thy direction, as we open thy scriptures, thy holy word. We ask that thy anointing would be here tonight, that we ask that thou wouldest give us understanding, so that we might fully understand and comprehend thy word, for we know without thy guidance and thy help, we cannot understand or comprehend anything. And we pray, O God, that thou wouldest give us thy Spirit, fill us with the Holy Ghost. Move upon us greatly as we read thy word. We ask, O God, that thy word would come alive in our hearts. And we pray that thou wouldst give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts that would perceive and understand. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are in Ephesians chapter 4. And as we covered last week, this was an epistle written, addressed specifically to the church at Ephesus, but it's also intended for us as well. And, you know, this belongs to us also. It's for the Christian people. And there's a lot of good things in Ephesians. Last week we read about our inheritance, the earnest of our inheritance, the Spirit of God that he gives us. That Spirit that comes inside us, dwells inside us, the very Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, and that comes into us and lives inside us, and he leads us along by his Spirit. And that's a wonderful thing to know. And we're going to continue on now in Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Notice at the very outset of this chapter, the Apostle Paul is telling us that we need to be meek, we need to be lowly, we need to be humble. And when you look at the way Jesus Christ behaved when he was here on earth, he was very humble. He came in the form of a servant. He came to show us how we should behave. He is our example. And you know, there are a lot of people out there that are proud of themselves for this or that or for whatever. And it's not good to be proud of yourself, but we need to be meek and lowly and humble. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Notice, in the kingdom of God, it's always one. One body, one Spirit. And you know, it's always a singular thing. We know there's one God, only one God. And people get confused about that too, but there is only one God. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Notice there's even only one hope. Only one hope. And you want to know what that one hope is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Him, we have no hope, none whatsoever. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. See that? Just one God. And we know that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, but there is just one God. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What is that gift? What are these gifts he's talking about? These are gifts of the Spirit that are being referred to. Gifts of the Spirit that the Lord Jesus gave us. And there are different types of spiritual gifts, but they all fall under to the guidance and the direction of His Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost that dwells inside us. What does it say in Acts 2:38? It calls it the gift of the Holy Ghost, doesn't it? Because it is a gift. And we are given gifts from the Lord, very precious, great, and wonderful gifts. In fact, why don't we take a moment real quick and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read a little bit about those gifts. You know, we're all part of the body of Christ, and we all have a role to play for the Lord. He has jobs for each and every one of us to do, and not all of our assignments are the same. Some of us are called to do different things, but we all belong to that body, and He has equipped us with spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, it tells us, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led." Now, dumb idols there, that's referring to the fact that they couldn't speak, but I suppose you could take it the other way also. They're dumb in a couple of ways. "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." You know, it is the inspiration of the Holy Ghost that causes us to confess that name, to say that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. It is that Holy Ghost that dwells inside us that prompts us to do that. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. It's the same Spirit. It's the same God. Remember what we just read, one Lord, one faith, one baptism? That's always singular, but we are given a diversity of gifts. Diversities of gifts, it tells us. We're given different assignments and different gifts that equip us to fulfill those assignments. Verse 6, "And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." Sometimes He'll give us wisdom, and that's good, because, you know, some of us might think we're pretty smart, but we need the Lord's wisdom, because we're not nearly as smart as we think we are. "To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues." See, there's a diversity of gifts here, but it all comes from the same Spirit, that Holy Ghost that dwells inside us. "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to two drink into one spirit. Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know that there's no discrimination in the kingdom of God? It doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile or what color your skin is. We're all a part of that same body. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? In other words, he's saying, if the whole body was just eyes, how could you hear anything? You know, you'd only see, you wouldn't hear. If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. You see how that works? There's just one body of Christ, but we all work together. We all have different jobs, different positions, different assignments, but we're all the same body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. And in other words, what he's really getting at here is he's saying that we're all the same body and no one is any better than anybody else. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And that's true. When one of us is suffering, we're all suffering. Or when one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Yes, even one of those spiritual gifts is the gift of helps, your desire to help people. That comes from the Lord. That's the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. That's why some people, they just want to help people any way they can. And you know, we don't all have the same jobs necessarily. We're not all prophets, and we're not all teachers, and not all of us perform miracles, but we do all have a role to play in God's kingdom because we're all part of that same body. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. You know, when you seek the Lord and you ask for those gifts, He will bestow His gifts upon you. And we should seek those gifts. Why don't we go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and continue on? Yes, He does have wonderful gifts for us, important gifts, spiritual gifts. In Ephesians chapter 4, we're at verse 9. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. And we know that the Lord Jesus has ascended into heaven. We can read about when that happened in the book of Acts. And it was a very exciting thing. And it came with a promise that He would return in the same way He went. But we know that He ascended into heaven. We know He's coming back. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That's very similar to what we just read in 1 Corinthians. We all have a role to play. We all have spiritual gifts that He gives us. And we receive those gifts when we have the Holy Ghost. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, there are a lot of doctrines out there, and a lot of them are very weird, and a lot of people fall into those doctrines, and they get confused, because there are people out there who are very persuasive, and they bring forth some things, and they can make it sound like it makes sense. They can confuse a lot of people. But, you know, when someone's trying to tell you something, make sure it lines up with the Scriptures completely. And if it doesn't seem right, you know, look it up in the book, and if it's not right, then you know, I believe we can confirm all doctrines through the Bible. If somebody tries to teach you something that's contrary to Scripture, don't fall for it. And, you know, people, they try to do that. And I know my dad used to say, every squirrel can find a few nuts, and it seems like no matter what it is, how weird some of these cult leaders may be and so forth, they can always find some, can't they? Some people who are willing to follow them. But we know that this word he's given us, it helps us. And we know that if something doesn't line up with this word, we're not going to believe it. We're not going to adhere to that, because we adhere to the Scriptures. And if anybody teaches something contrary to Scriptures, we know it's wrong. Praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. Let's see, where am I? I believe I'm on verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I guess I did read those verses already, but that's okay. We got to read them again. Maybe that helps them sink in a little more. Sometimes it helps to read things twice. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. You know, it's important to speak the truth in love. And there are a lot of people out there who aren't going to like the truth, and they won't accept the truth. But when you do speak the truth, you need to speak it in love. Don't just speak the truth for the sake of being right. That's some people, that's all they care about, being right, winning the argument, and so forth, but they're not speaking the truth in love. We must speak the truth in love. That's very important. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. You know, when you don't have the light of God, the Lord Jesus, shining in your heart, you have blindness in your heart, and you cannot properly discern spiritual things without that light shining in your heart. And we know that Jesus Christ is that light, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You know, after we're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, we're buried with him in baptism, we come up out of that water, and we're a new man, a new creature in Christ Jesus. We come up out of there changed, our sins washed away, and that old man is dead. We're not the same people we used to be. When we come up out of that water, he washes us and makes us clean. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And that verse 23, it's very similar to a verse in Romans chapter 12, which also speaks of our minds being renewed. And we do need our minds to be renewed by the Spirit of God. That's why we come to church. That's why we gather in His name. That's why we study His Word. You know, this Word, it's spiritual food for us. And if you don't read the Bible regularly, you will eventually starve to death in a spiritual sense. And some people, they go far too long without reading the Scriptures. But we gather here because we know that the Lord has good things for us. And that Spirit renews our minds when we come together in the name of the Lord and study His Word. Verse 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And, you know, this should be common sense. And we all know that we are to be truthful and honest, always speak the truth. I don't believe even in little white lies. We shouldn't lie at all. I know people think a lot of times it's harmless little things you can tell your children. I mentioned the tooth fairy on Sunday. My parents never did that. I'm thankful for that. You know, I would have been a little upset if they had taught me there was a tooth fairy and then I found out later there wasn't. And of course, there was no Santa Claus either or anything like that. We weren't taught about the Easter Bunny or any of those things because I'm thankful that I had parents who always told me the truth. And, you know, those things can be confusing, even to children, you know. They read those, see those things, hear those things, read those things sometimes, and then they might read the Bible, and eventually they find out that those legends and so forth aren't true, and then they might read the Bible and wonder, well, is the Bible true then? It can be confusing. So we need to make sure we always tell the truth, even to our children and to everyone else. We need to be honest. No lying. Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And you know, that's an interesting verse. I believe that, you know, sometimes couples, they might have an argument, a little bit of a fight. It happens sometimes, but I believe there's some good advice here. Let not the sun go down on your upon your wrath. Don't go to bed angry. Don't let that fester. Resolve it before you go to sleep. I think that's good advice here from the Apostle Paul. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Don't let the devil have even an inch in your life. Don't let him creep in there, because he'll come in there and he can work it in slowly, whatever it is he's trying to do. And before you know it, he's got more and more influence on your life. But you need to make sure you never give place to the devil. Slam that door in his face. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, the words we say, they matter. People hear what we say, and, you know, sometimes people, they might come to church, and, you know, on Sunday they want to be seen as holy, but then they go out all week and they're cussing like a sailor and saying all kinds of nasty things, and people hear that. And they might wonder, this person is supposed to be a Christian? Why are they talking like that? There should not be any corrupt communication proceeding out of our mouths. We need to be careful what we say, because not only do other people hear what we're saying, but God hears it too. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. We must not grieve that Holy Spirit of God, that Spirit that dwells inside us. And you know what grieves the Holy Spirit of God? Sin. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And it is important that we be kind one to another and forgiving of each other. You know, we've been forgiven for so much. The Lord has been merciful, and we, in turn, need to be merciful. We need to be forgiving. It is important. And the Scriptures are telling us that right here in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to move on now. to the fifth chapter. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. That's how much Jesus loves us. He gave himself for us. He went to that cross and offered himself in our place and took our sins upon himself. He didn't have to do that, but he did it for us. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. You know, I know that the vast majority of the people today, they do participate in fornication, but according to the Word of God, that still is an offense against God. It's still a sin, and that's not something we should participate in. It's very serious. Verse 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Again, it is important what we say. What comes out of our mouth is important. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You know, last week we read about that inheritance he has for us, that eternal life. We read about that earnest of his inheritance, the Spirit of God that comes into our lives, that lives inside us, and that's a wonderful thing. But people who participate in these things that the Apostle Paul just wrote of, these sins, well, they do not have that inheritance. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Again, we have that light, the Lord Jesus, shining in our hearts, and we need to be children of the light. We need to walk with the Lord. We need to let that light shine. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, there are people today who do things so rotten and wicked and filthy that you can't even really talk about it. It's a shame to even speak of those things, some of the things they're doing. And we cannot be friendly towards those who participate defiantly in such things. You know, and we certainly can't condone what they do. We can't go out there and be affirming, as some churches claim to be now, especially towards, the homosexuals and so forth, or affirming churches. No, that's affirming sin. That's having fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. You can't do that. And, you know, if gay people came in here, we would tell them the truth. And we would tell them they need to repent, so the chances are they wouldn't stay very long. Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You know, before we had the Spirit of God living inside us, before he raised us from the dead, when we came up out of that water, we were dead and we didn't even realize it. But we came out of that water a new creature in Christ Jesus, a new creation. And he has given us that light, that Spirit that dwells inside us. Verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And they sure are evil. There's a lot of evil things we could talk about, but we're not going to do that tonight. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And when we pray, we should always ask that the Lord's will be done. We should be subject to his will, not our own will, but whatever his will may be. Believe it or not, sometimes his will is not perfectly aligned with our own. I know some people might find that hard to believe, but sometimes the will of the Lord is different than our will. And we need to be subject to his will. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Yes, it tells us to be filled with the Spirit, not filled with spirits. It's kind of interesting, you know, some of those liquor stores and so forth. Well, what do they say on their signs? wine and spirits, you know. No, we want the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. And I don't believe in getting drunk. I don't believe there's wisdom in getting drunk. I know people like to do that. They think it's fun. I never could see the fun in that. And some people seem to really enjoy that, but I believe it's contrary to Scripture to go out and get drunk. And this is just one of many verses you find in the Bible that tells us not to do that. And I believe that when you do get drunk, it makes you vulnerable. And sometimes people do things they end up regretting when they're drunk. So it's very important to not get drunk. Verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Verse 22, now some people will read these verses, women in particular, and get upset about them. But if you really look at these verses and look at what it's actually saying, there's no reason to be upset. And verse 22, it tells us, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, some women might read that and get a little upset and think, well, that's not fair. Why should I have to submit to my husband? And, you know, does that mean I have to do everything he tells me to do and boss me around and be all ornery and so forth and overbearing and so on? But if you read what he tells the husbands to do, you're going to see that the fact that it tells wives to submit to their husbands shouldn't be a problem. Because in verse 25, it tells us, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And you know, if a husband truly loves his wife, he's not going to be overbearing and mean-spirited and so forth and asking unreasonable things and so forth. And these verses that we're reading here, it tells us that the husband is to love his wife as himself. In other words, his wife is just as important to him as his own self, and her needs are just as important as his own needs. And you know, when you have a relationship where you follow these words, this advice here that we're being given by the Apostle Paul, you'll find that things go better, they work smoothly. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. So if a husband truly loves his wife, he's not going to ask unreasonable things of her, and in that regard, everything should work just fine. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Again, we're all members of the body of Christ, and we all have a role to play. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That's interesting here. That's very similar to what Jesus told us when he was quoting from Genesis about marriage being between one man and one woman. And, you know, that's a lot of people have changed their opinion on that these days, but that doesn't change God's mind. You know, you can't get together a majority and say, God, we've decided, the majority here, that you're wrong and we're going to change this now and we're going to let marriage be between two men or two women and we're going to do whatever we want here, but that's not how it works. The Lord doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And that's, You know, that's important too. Children need to obey their parents. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now the scriptures tell us if we honor our father and our mother, we'll have long lives. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you know, as fathers, it's important to not make unreasonable demands of your children either. Don't provoke your children to wrath and ask unreasonable things of them or have unreasonable expectations and so forth, because that can be very frustrating to a child. And I know I was very blessed to have good parents. They didn't do that to me. And they did everything they could to help me learn things and to nurture my abilities and so forth, but they didn't try to force me into doing things I didn't want to do. As far as some fathers, they'll insist that their sons or their daughters need to go into this or that profession and so forth and so on, and try to force them to learn piano when they don't want to and things like that. You shouldn't provoke your children to wrath. Don't make unreasonable demands. Verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart, as unto Christ. And we can apply that to our lives as employees. Whatever our job might be, we should do the very best we can, and do the very best work we can do. And you know, some people read this verse and think it's condoning slavery. It really is not condoning slavery at all. But it's just saying, if you happen to be a servant, do the very best job you can possibly do. In fact, you know, it's kind of interesting. A lot of people, there's been a lot of commotion about that, especially these days in recent weeks, about slavery and so forth. But I don't believe the Bible condones slavery. And I know that the Apostle Paul wasn't in favor of it. He is saying here that servants should work hard, do the very best of their ability, but he's not saying slavery is a good thing. In fact, it's kind of interesting, if you go to Philemon, why don't we go there real quick, and I'll try to get through it fairly quickly. We got a little bit of time, but Philemon, it's a short little letter, it's only one chapter, and it's kind of interesting. It was written to a man, well, this is appropriately named, a man named Philemon, and he lived in Colossae. And of course, that's the epistle to the Colossians that was addressed to the church at Colossae. But he's writing this to Philemon because he had owned a servant, and that man, he escaped somehow or departed in some manner, and he must have somehow became acquainted with Paul. So Paul is writing to Philemon on behalf of the slave that he sent back to him, actually hoping that Philemon would free him. It's an interesting little letter. In verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So obviously he had some wonderful things to say about this man, Philemon, who was an important part of that church in Colossae. Verse 8, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So obviously when Paul wrote this letter, he was in prison. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. You know, the Apostle Paul thought so highly of this man, the slave who, it seems, ran away from his owner. He thought so highly of this man that he addressed him as his son. He referred to him as his son. which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, that thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. So, obviously, Paul thought very highly of this man, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. And in other words, he's saying, I would have liked for him to stay here with me, but I'm sending him back to you. And I believe the Apostle Paul was hoping that Philemon would let this man go. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So he's saying, he's more than just a servant. This man is our brother, and we're no better than he is. That's what he's telling Philemon. He's our brother in Christ. Verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord, having confidence in thy obedience. I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. So we see here Paul is expressing confidence that this man, Philemon, will do what he's asking and allow Onesimus to be set free so he can do the work for the Lord. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit. Amen. So I think that's just an interesting little letter, and I think it'd be very difficult to say after reading that letter that Paul approved of slavery. I don't think that was the case at all. But continuing on, we'll finish up chapter 6 now in Ephesians. Verse 6. Well, I'll read verse 5 again, because otherwise it's not really a complete thought. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Just do the best you can, whatever your situation is, just do the best job you can, and do it as if you're doing it for the Lord. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is the respect of persons with him. In other words, he's saying God has no respect. He's no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if you might be considered a servant or a slave in this world, or if you might be considered a master or whatever the case may be. You know, when we get to heaven, we're all going to be equal there. There's no respecter of persons, and that's the way the kingdom of God should operate here on earth. Nobody's any better than anybody else. And, you know, that's something we should all embrace. Verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You know, the devil, he does attack. He attacks often. And to withstand those attacks, to withstand the wiles of the devil, you need to be equipped to do so. You need to put on the whole armor of God. And that's not a physical armor that you wear. It's a spiritual armor. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what we fight against. You know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we're not called to wrestle against flesh and blood, but we have a spiritual battle to fight, a spiritual war. And He equips us to do that. He gives us this spiritual armor that we're going to read about right now in verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. How do we stand? How do we keep standing? How do we prevent the devil from knocking us over? Why, we put on this armor, of course. This armor of God. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So we need the truth. We must have the truth. And you know, we know that Jesus Christ said He is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. We must embrace the Lord Jesus. And when you have that Spirit of the Lord Jesus living inside you, you do have the truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. And, you know, we have no righteousness of our own. Any righteousness we have comes from the Lord Jesus. He gives us a part of His righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yes, we need the gospel. And, you know, it's interesting that it tells us to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and it seems like that's a call to action, a call for movement, a call to go out and tell others and share that gospel. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery doubts of the wicked. You know, the devil and his minions, they might try to throw darts at you, darts of doubt and darts of fear and so forth. But when you have that shield of faith, when you believe the Lord will do exactly what He promised to do, when you completely trust Him, then those darts are going to be quenched. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. What does the Scriptures tell us? The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And, you know, it is. It'll cut you coming and going sometimes. The Word of God is sharp. It's powerful. It's a sword in a spiritual sense. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. That is Ephesians. There are a lot of wonderful things in this book. This letter that he wrote to the church at Ephesus, and it applies to us just as much today. We all need that whole armor of God. That spiritual armor. That's how you withstand the wiles of the devil. You take that armor. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy Scriptures. We thank Thee for Thy Holy Word. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast promised us an inheritance. And we thank Thee that Thou hast sealed us with Thy Spirit. And we thank Thee for Thy armor that Thou hast provided for us, so that we may withstand the wiles of the devil. We ask, O God, that Thou hast be with us each and every day. Guide our footsteps. Guide our paths. Let us abide in Thy will always, we pray. And let Thy Holy Ghost be upon each and every one of us. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we should probably sing a chorus in closing. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, we were just reading about slavery and how Paul was hoping that slave would be set free. And I'm thankful to know that we have a God who has set us free from sin, from death, from hell. Spiritually, we've been set free, and that's a wonderful thing to know. We have a Savior that sets us free. So why don't we sing number 108 in the chorus book, He Set Me Free. Number 108. He set me free, oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory, hallelujah, He set me free. He set me free, oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory, hallelujah, He set me free. He set me free, oh, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory, hallelujah, He set me free. Praise the Lord. We are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.